Mata Junta. Pakistan, Sindhi, Pano.
My name is Christian Amenari. Can you see me? Alright. I'm shaking, you know? I'd like to share with you and tell you why I went down on my knees. What's most difficult? When God is there and my body shakes. Last year, I was asked to share at the women's meeting. Loud enough? Don't worry, my voice will come up. Don't worry. When I talk about my wrongs, it's going to be strong. Now, with a little voice, I'd like to talk about God. It's important for me. It's not because of me that I'm here, and I'm so afraid of my ego that I won't sidestep the issue. I had a vision at one time. I was sharing in a convention in a large room, and last year I was asked to share in a women's meeting. There were supposed to be 60, and at some point there were 300 in the room, and that's pretty big. And that vision, I saw myself on my knees. Why? Because since I've been in recovery, I think I'll get it out. It's going to be 8 years clean in 2 weeks. It's already started. My chum likes me, he loves me, he gave me all the Kleenex I need. So, at my first sharing, I was 6 months clean, and I couldn't go up front alone, so I went and kneeled in the bathroom. And me, I don't know. Maybe I'm not different, but I believe in Jesus. It's not the religion, it's the guy. Since I've been a little one. You know, Christian, Christ, you know, all these things went well together. He never talked to me like that, but I still hear him. And I'd go to the bathroom, get on my knees, and I'd say, take my voice, use it, because I can't. I've always done it ever since. Because I'm afraid to tell you some things. You know, the topic here is the exact nature of my wrong. But I won't exaggerate. It was very important for me when I came not to talk about something, since it still remains very important. I still respect that. But I wanted to talk because I can be rather crude. I don't know how this can go through in the translation, but we'll see. I'm happy to see American friends. It's important, even if we don't speak the same language and we have the same disease. Who try. Who will try. I say try. Because I really don't know how it gets across. And sometimes I'm rather crude. Well, good luck, the translators. Well, at a time, I'd go, you know, in jail to pray. And, you know, they see you from beneath, so I'd get on top of the toilet itself to pray. And that's because too much pride. And when God... said, well, get yourself on your knees in front of everybody. Get rid of that pride. It's not easy. Because I don't explain it. I do it. And then I live. And then when I do it, I'm shaking all over. But I need to do it, and I'll continue to do it as long as I'm in recovery. Well. Well. rock here in my hand. Stone. What I want to share with you today, I don't really like doing it. I don't like it because I'm going to tell you my character defaults, my disease, and this disease I have. In a way, I like it. In a way, I don't. I've been looking for somebody who's guilty in this. I found somebody, even when in recovery. It's me who's the guilty party. But it's me, but it's also what I discover more and more with this great program is that the greatest mistake that an addict, especially me, can make is to not love oneself. If I say this, well, this little stone, this rock I have here. Excuse me, I gotta get a Kleenex out here. That's all the love I ever got in my life. And I say, come on, Tristan. It's not a rock. Yeah, it's simple, it's natural. And recently, I was sick, you know. 2 months ago, I paralyzed. I hyperventilated. I'll explain you later, but I really had to do something to keep life in me. And the only way I could keep life was through God. Because me, life, you know, I was born and I didn't want to be born. This rock. For the last 8 years, I've been writing to God. And He answers back. And I'm not crazy. And I decided that I'd burn some of the things from my past. Over the last year, I've been sick, very sick. Well, not really. Over the last 4 or 5 years, I've been visiting my inner child. And I've really stirred up things, looked up for the guilty ones, and I've seen all kinds of things. It hasn't been easy, but now with time, I've understood. I can self-destroy all by myself, no problem. I burned all the books I wrote over the last 8 years to God because there were things in the past that had to go away. I was with my husband because with NA, through NA, I got married. I've been married 4 years and I've been with the same guy for 6 years. And that, for me, is a miracle. And I said, I'd like us to have a little rite. You know, I'm somebody who likes ritualistic things. So he went to pray in the car. And we were at a cottage and he said, well, go get the stone. You know, he said, go find this. And he told me, keep all the positive of your life, and for me, Tavares, keep all the love of your past, the people who love you, the people who welcome you, the people who made suggestions, the people who loved you without conditions, even if you didn't love yourself. And I took this rock and made a fire and I buried it beneath the stone. And then we lit the fire and this rock just took all the love in. That, for me, is the program. It's simple. You could give me a ruby. It wouldn't be worth more than my rock. And nobody touches my rock. Well, not everybody touches my rock. I'd like to share with you and tell you a bit who I am. I come from a family of alcoholics. My father and my mother were both alcoholics. They had the disease. And for me, alcohol is part of it. Then there wasn't as much drug because otherwise they would have been, you know, also usually they call themselves alcoholics. But, you know, funny. Yesterday I was thinking about it. You know, I have a daughter, 13 years old. When I said I was looking for the guilty ones, my greatest wrong was always looking for guilty people. I couldn't accept myself as I am to admit that
I'll explain it to you.
With my daughter, I used her in the last 2 years. I was freebasing and, you know, my daughter saw me doing it. And I tell you inside, never, never, I wanted to harm my daughter. She's here. She's 13. And it gave me hope for my parents, because when I was young, I saw my father, you know, he abused me. He was drunk, and that was hard, you know. I used her, you know, I had to kill them in my mind. I'm really, really sick. But they gave me what they had. And I try to find and understand why I have problems with my sexuality, why I'm all fucked up, why I'm not normal. I say, it must be their fault. Shit. It's gotta be somebody. It's not me, shit. I'm normal. Great. Look at me, hey? Do I look normal? You'll see, I'm very normal. The exact nature of our runs this morning. I go to the restaurant beside the pool, there's a window, and I hit the window with my coffee. Shame. I'm not going to live this alone. My daughter says, hey, be careful. I say, hey, don't push me here. Hey, you. You damn well better not laugh. And I get into the restaurant, the girl says, we heard you fart. I say, give me a fucking table and sit up. The exact nature of our wrongs, you know? Spend the week in this, I'm really up to here. May we destroying self-destruction, not being able to pray, just sing, I'm going to share about this, and I should, God is crazy. Well, he's not that crazy, really. He's crazy in his wisdom to give me a chance to realize what are my wrongs. And that ain't easy. You can say whatever you want. I got a problem. Major feelings of guilt. How can you translate that? Which means, in French or in English, you feel guilty even if you're not guilty. Quite a thing. I can spend days, like Thursday, with my little boy, 2.5. I knew I was coming here this weekend. I didn't have any money. I love so much. I've loved so much the openness, the tickets, the simplicity. I've an addict who's in a recovery, one day all fucked up. It's not always a bed of rose, you know. It's not that I wasn't funny this week. I was calling my sponsor every day. You know, I say, hey, they chose me. Why? Well, they said, hey, you're not there to help the old ones. You're there to help the young ones and to help yourself too. And it's a gift from God, because yes, it's a gift from God. It's a gift because they speak in English, but we understand each other. It's true. That's strong. After all, in any, there's no language. It's feeling, emotions, feelings. You see, you understand, right? That's it. You know, I didn't know that. Feel what you feel. And this week I wasn't feeling a thing because I was sick. And when I'm sick, I don't feel. When my husband gets close to me, I just want to put him back in the cupboard. Yes, I'll massage you. It hurts. No. You think? I just reject all love when I'm sick. I don't want to see anyone. No one. Love for me scared me all my life. And I've wanted all my life. And I was reading something that said, there's only two real feelings. Fear and love. When you resent something, you fear. When you hate, you fear. When you're jealous, you fear. Fear is everywhere, but it's an illusion. So, fuck off, man. Fear is but illusions. And I'm sick. I've got an emotional disease of fear. That's a strong one. But thanks. Thanks for having this disease. Because I can live and feel with other human beings. Because it's because of that that I look at this gang here. It's a privilege to have real friends who love me for what I am. And I am all mucked up. I'm not perfect. I'm an addict. All of that makes sense. But understand me well. All my life, I've repeated what I saw when I was young. All my life. My father abused me. My mother was a psychotic. My mother, you know, she just wasn't any better than me, so imagine what it gave. But he loved me, I'm sure. They loved me in their own way, and I think their parents didn't really give much more. If I, you know, in theory, everything's fine, but it's life. So it's a real bummer. But I'm happy because now I appreciate love that they gave me. Even if they didn't have any for themselves, they gave me some anyway. And today, I do the same. There's some days I have no love for myself. Absolutely no love of myself. I really had to have hard times. It was Mike, I think, who was sharing this morning. His brother died. And me, I'm not in any through simple myself. You know, 6 months before, I lost my mother and my sister. In 6 months from disease, I lost both of them. And me, all I wanted was to follow me. But I had a daughter, 5 and a half, who was crying, "Mama, Mama, Mama." I said to myself, my sister, my mother, they're here. They must be here. They're here with God. And they must be damn proud. Because it could have given the contrary of what happened to my life. I could have killed myself. And they sort of went, "Wow. I got kids. I don't want to abandon that child." I went down on my knees. And I said to God, "Hey, help me, because me, I just want to die. Spent my life in a criminal world. I don't like saying this. I don't like saying this, but that's my life. And today I can see that there, I got love too. When I was asked to share, and Sean Gill called me and said, "Hey, this year, we're not going to cut you off." Because last year it was a women's meeting, he was the only guy, and we kicked him out. Not funny, but that's the way. So, when they called me, I called my sponsor, she wasn't there, so I had this big rush, you know, I just felt bad. And he said, "Well, there'll be a lot more people than last year." And there, really felt sick. I said, "Hey, I got to call somebody, I got to share this with somebody." And then I reached 2 people. And then I told myself, "Well, I think I'd better go take a bath with a candle and get my nerves calmed down." And I get in the bath, and all the dead people in my life, I've learned a lot of things from that. Told you my daughter, my sister, my mother died, and that helped me to recover. But before my sister and my mother died, and why I say I was in the criminal world, because, you know, they were falling like flies around me. I couldn't get it. And they weren't dying from, you know, getting a piece of nose spittle in their eye. You know, it just didn't make any sense, you know. But I sort of, I had them all, they're all rockers, you know, they're all tugs, really. But I talked to them and I said, you sure you want me to be here? And they said, "Yeah," and I have a big cry, you know, my big baby. I say to myself, "Hey, you're dead, but you believe. Me, to believe. This convention, a reason to believe. Well, that's my base. Those are my roots. That's really, for me, important. The roots, the base for everything in life. That's very important. It's like a rock. It's important. It's the base of life. It's life. If you've got a good base to life, and if you don't refuse your roots, you'll go forward. But if you spit on them, there's no way. So for me, that was my base. I had to look at my past. You know, when you're talking, you go through the fifth thing. You know, I've done 4 and 5. And maybe I'll do 25, I don't know. But every time. Every time. I went deeper. And there are times when really I had to go and hide. Behind a big door with the Jesuits. The brothers. Because my life was in danger. I can't share everything because they're not all dead. And there are things that you shouldn't say. You can say to another human being and to God, but the rest, you don't talk about it. It's important, you know, you must not forget that. And every time. I remember the first 4 and 5, I was walking in the street and looking and people would say, can you do this and me, hey, you know? I gotta say, and I keep saying it, but, you know, don't freak out. You know, I don't know if you're getting this message across in English, but that, don't panic. I'm not the only one who went through this, but when I was young, you know, I had a dog lick my ass. I finally said it. All right? Did the message get across? You got it? I don't know what he said, but it must have been funny. You know, it's very important. I'm not doing this for a joke. It's very important when I say this. That was my secret. I'll never say this to anybody. They'll say, hey, what kind of shit are you? You know, yeah, with the last dregs of life. No, man. And when I was able to share this in my first 4th and 5th step, to go to meetings and say this to meetings, you know, for me it was a miracle, you know? I was sure I was going to die. Now I feel it's stupid, and some people just can't believe it when I say it, but it's a miracle. You know, miracles, they happen all the time, every day, every 5 minutes. Now, I got a flower and a rock, and see, my rock grows from the flower grows from the rock. That's a miracle. I showed it to Sergio, and he believed me. You know, you just have to believe. You just have to believe. I believe in this program. I believe because God keeps me alive. I put myself in His care to serve Him. Even with what shames me the most, I keep the hope that I'll help an addict. Because for me, if I couldn't do that, to be loved, to be counted as somebody, I'd like to die. In me, in any, I found that. And my greatest wrong is to be there to serve God, to say to everybody I love them, to see how God loves them, see how God loves you. And this week with my sponsor, when I were going through my faults and deficiencies, and I was saying to her, I let Him speak through me. He may use my body, He may use my voice, but I don't keep Him. I don't believe in Him enough that He also loves me. Not enough. And that's why. I saw my sin sharing, you know, saying, Christian, you know, at the convention, people have an open mind, they have love in their heart. They want love. And there. You have to, you shouldn't say that. Let me start again. So you're going to breathe deep. Breathe in this love that God to you to heal your body. Because my body, I took it like a for a garbage truck. And when I was sick, I don't have a body. I can't feel a thing. I can do anything. Push a car. But I'm just a weak woman. A month ago, here, I'm getting to the heart of the subject here. Around the rock. So 6 months ago, there's a real tornado that came into my life. It's just disappeared recently. But you know, in the life of addicts, there are, you know, it's been showed in Johnny's life, you know, a lot of things can happen in one day that you didn't use, even if it was in a meeting and whatever. 6 months ago, my husband, me, I'm, you know, I have a family. We keep a handicapped 20-year-old, and I have a little boy, 2.5. I kept this man. There had been an ad that I put in the paper to have somebody. When we bought our house, you know, we didn't have any money, and I wanted to rent a room. And I rented a room, and I said in the paper that somebody who did not use, did not drink, and I got a guy from AA, an old one. Came to see us, and a bloody mafia guy. But he died recently, and that's why. He was like a father, you know. You know, God sends you people. Sometimes, not because he was an AA guy. I just do NA, but AA, that's where we got this. That's the base, the roots, you know. And I don't spit on them. That's it. We went bankrupt. Our house, we gave it back to the bank. This guy died. One of his daughters. She was 28. We tried to get her into the program. She died 3 months after her father. After that, my husband, he just burnt out. They said it was a depression. Doctors. Give you a few pills for that, but you shouldn't take them. And me, I don't know. These doctors, they got all kinds of names, but I discovered, you know, the addicts, they got all kinds of disease. You know, psychosis and whatever, schizophrenia, paranoid, maniac. I'm so sick, you just wouldn't believe, according to them. And if I were to take all the pills for that, I'd, you know, be rocking back and forth for a long time in the psychiatric ward, and it wouldn't cure anything of my disease. It would get things worse. So you got to be careful, you know. I'm not passing judgment here, but I think we should be careful. And our body is not a garbage can, and emotions, you don't cure them with pills. After that, I sort of got a depressive also. My husband and I, we nearly separated. Because, you know, over the last year, we had these meetings for Christiane was so sick to believe that somebody could bring God to me. So I really got into that, and I really hurt myself, and my husband too. And
you know, this tornado that came into our life, that we just went different ways. The program is us, not I. The couple is us, it's not I. There is recovery in my family, but when I'm in a couple, when I'm with my children, with my family, there's us. And if I only think of myself, I'm not going to have a family, I just don't want to hear about anything, I just want to go. My disease is that big, and that's why us, or the we, is important. If you weren't here to listen to me, I'd be 6 feet. And but because you're listening to me, I get out of my own skin. I need your light. I need your courage. I need you listening. I need your love. And where's the exact nature of my wrongs in this? I'm a savior. I've discovered this after all kinds of therapies where they give you all kinds of information. Yeah, I'm a savior. And when you try to change a behavior, it's very difficult. When you've taken care of your father, your mother, your great father, and so on. When I started working on my inner child, I had six parents. I was raised by six, and it was kind of difficult to find myself amongst all those. But to come back to what happened recently, when I moved, when we went bankrupt, we found a nice place. But below us, there was someone using. You know, a guy with long hair, you know, tattoos, he's 20 and his girlfriend's 50, and I was really judging him. And he's got his goddamn music at the top, and he's trying to make me afraid, and if he's trying to make me afraid, I'll try to make him afraid, and then I'm going to end up killing him the last year. I don't like telling you this. But that's been always like that in my fucking life. But it's not. It's a happy life. Well, some. When I'm in my program on things, I will get my applause. She says it's a process. Oh, I don't know what she means. Well, I hope it works. Well, yeah, I know it works. It's not because you're aware. That's what I learned. That's how I learned the program. It's not because you're aware of a mode of behavior that you're ready to talk about it. It's not because you're talking about it that you're ready to do it. It's easy to say, but you gotta do it. This behavior, I hadn't seen it for years, because when I got into this NOS program, I showed you my sweet side. My soft side. A bit ninny. A bit of an asshole. But I'm not really like that. No. I'm bloody sick. But I said to myself, if I show you that other side, nobody's going to want to sit beside me. Because I can be nice, sweet, a lot of affection, but I can be something else. And I didn't want to show that side of me when I came in. And that's okay, because my daughter is here. But she's lived this. She knows. Me. My disease is such that at one point I really wanted to kill somebody. I was listening to Mike this morning. It really opened up the father of my daughter. My greatest fear in my recovery was that, things happen to you. You lose, you control your mind when you want to kill somebody. You're just not there. It's like a rage, hate is so strong. You're just saying, I want to kill you. It's the only reason that when it's finished and it's done off, you feel better. But for me, when I was in recovery, I said, I don't want ever to relive that again. I don't want to be mad. But this personal growth was such that gave me a baseball bat and nearly went through a window. You know, and I come from that shit. I don't want to fight. I don't want to kill. I don't want to speak that. I don't want to tell you to fuck off. I don't want to speak like this anymore. I don't want to act like this. But if I go back to this and I try to stir up this shit, I'm just going to be this shit, because I don't make any distinction in this type of behavior. And the guy below me, when I moved in, that's the type of behavior he had. And he was sick, and noise gets to him, and And I thought the floor was cement, but it was cardboard, and I'm walking all over his head, and it bugs him, and he's not telling me. He just gets his music at the top. So one morning, I go and see with, you know, with my Fentex slippers and my flowery robe. I've been trained for half an hour that I'm not going to kill him, and it worked. I went downstairs, and I said, "Hey, man." He looked at me with his big eyes, and I said, "Hey, I got a handicap. He's sleeping beside you, and he doesn't like this." And he said, "Yeah, well, you boy, you should get his running shoes off." I said, "All right." And then he says, "Thank you." I said to myself, "He's afraid." Exact nature of our wrong. Don't forget. "Well, good girl," I said, "next time I won't go and see him. I'll just call the cops." Second time in my life I called the cops. I don't know about this. He doesn't know this. He thinks that I'm just, a friend of the cops. And he's using, so he's afraid. So he goes out in the back when I go out in the front. I know he's just trying. He's about this big and he's doing weights and he's trying to develop, but he hasn't got it. He just doesn't get it. Sick, you know. So I call the owner. I'm just being a bloody pain. He's getting on my nerve because I'm a tornado. And I can't get out of it. And I've got to find some guilty guy. And it's that idiot downstairs. But things aren't working out. So one time, he's doing things when I'm not there. When my daughter's, if I blow my nose, he comes up. And then at one point, he creates a problem for my husband. He says, "John," I said, "I feel like throwing him off the, the second floor." And he's a sweet guy. And we're doing a couple of therapy. And the psychologist told me my husband is a man who is much more sweet than the average of men. And I chose him because I need more than the average to have somebody sweet with him. Yeah, good story. But he doesn't know about it. The guy downstairs, he doesn't know that he's like that. So my husband, he's burned out and he wanted to throw him out, but he's a sweet guy. But I wasn't there. He said, "Hey, you're a goddamn kid." And my husband, he's a sweet guy, but he's not an asshole. He said, "You're aggressive, your husband." I tried to explain to the guy afterwards. He said, "Yeah, he's aggressive." I said, "No, he's not the aggressive one. I'm the aggressive one in the family." He said, "Well, you're welcome." I said, "Hey, listen, man. I understand full well you want to have your music strong and you're on your trip, but we're not on the same trip, eh?" Oh, he said, "Okay, well, He said, "At one point, I was having a real rage there. I was sick. And with the separation and all that, at one point, I'm in the yard in the back with my boy. I've just gone through bankruptcy. I nearly separated. My father has died. And there's a man I adored, his daughter, was sick. So it's a tornado. I just can't feel myself in the yard with my boy, and I start to talk about myself. They say that's schizophrenia. I want to kill him." Now, he had stopped with his music 3 weeks ago, but I unstopped because I needed somebody, and that was him. But the program, listen, I had my rock because I didn't get this from the beginning. And it's strong, that disease. Listen to it. This is very important. Maybe that's why I'm here. I'm here with my boy outside, and I start talking about something. I say, "I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill this goddamn dog. I'm going to kill him. I can see the passage door, and I can see everything." And, usually you can really see well. You can see things, and they're not happening, but you see them. The exact nature of our wrongs, let's not forget. So I get into the house. My husband's on the phone, and I say, "Sean, I'm talking all by myself." He's there. I said, "I'm talking to myself." He doesn't understand. But my sponsor, she had given me something last year when I had my kick, a big doll that she'd shared with for 3 years, 3 years before in a big meeting, and she gave it to me. It's a good thing I had that doll because I went to the bedroom and I just grabbed that dolly. To have a fight, it's not great, but to go through hyperventilation, it's pretty good. But I was really afraid. I just grabbed that doll, and you know, I just locked up with that doll, and I was just, just crying. And then John was, he comes with the kid, and he says, "What's the problem? What's the problem?" "I'm not there. I'm just yelling." I said, "Get the kid out." He doesn't. And it lasted for 3/4 of an hour. The time for my sponsor to come from Montreal, and so I was just crying, "Mommy, mommy, come and get me, mommy, come and get me." And then I didn't kill the guy. You know who I killed? Me. Because the disease is self-destruction. How am I going to admit that I'm powerless in this? I'll tell you. Of course, if I don't have the program, that guy. I don't know what would have happened. Of course, to admit that I'm powerless. I wasn't able to do so, but in a way I was able to, so because I realized that I was sick. I realized that I was talking to myself. If I'd been using it, I wouldn't have realized. Because then I realized, I called, I went to see somebody. But anger, hate, came back. I just wanted to get. For an hour, and it frightened me. I was frightened by my disease. And I was afraid of using again. And thank God I didn't go back. There are fears that are good. And my sponsor came. And my sponsor and the other one. I swear, when I said, "Try to open my hands," I didn't know if they would open. I sort of ran out of air. Brain was deprived. I had the sciatica blocked and I had spasms. So it lasted for 2 months. I was screaming and my husband said, "I don't know what to do." And I said, "Don't call the hospital. Don't call a doctor. I don't want to go and rock in the psychiatric ward." I called my sponsor. I got massages. I went into facial therapy because I believe you can cure yourself. I believe in my body and I have faith in my body. Believe. And I'm alive. And it's not because of me, because God brought me to the people who could take care of me when I couldn't take care of myself. And the program brings me to this. To open my mind, to listen what people do to meet their basic needs. How much time I got? 3 hours, he said. "It's all right? It's all right, hey, and speaking English, things go well. There's no such thing as a language, you know?" You know me? There's Maslow's pyramid, you know, the basic needs of a baby when he's born. You gotta feed him, you gotta wash him, dress him appropriately. Give affection, love. Open the child to creativity, to spirituality and sexuality. Well, I think, my friends, my little friends, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work because I must humbly say that it's been 6 months. I'm a liar. What an asshole. What an asshole. They don't get it. They don't see that TV program, The Little Life. I'll explain it to you. It's a TV program I'm explaining to you, this, the American. We got this TV program in Quebec. It's called A Little Life. And that, they had a program on anonymous liars. And the guy, when he was lying, he put a mirror in his face and said, asshole, asshole. And he said the same thing in English? Did you get it? Great. My greatest fear was the interpretation, translation. I said, how the hell are you going to do with asshole and things like that? I'm ashamed. What was I saying? My sponsor was saying. I got a poem here. I think I'm going about ready to stop here. It's enough. I just tell you, I love you. I'd take the love that I felt in you, in your laughing, in your listening. And I'd leave you with something that God has lent me. Because God, I write to Jesus. And not only to Jesus, I write to everybody, the mother, the father, and the children. It's my family, you know. Mother, you know, well, I really needed it. I was sick there. But when you're reborn again, I can tell you, these wrongs, these faults, when they go, it's just as if you were reborn, as if you die. You die. There's a behavior, an attitude that dies, and it leaves room for God in your life. And I think this last layer I've removed. It's not the last layer, but it's the most recent. In other words, I'm not fairly cured, you know. It's a rebirth. I'm reborn at a certain level. I'm just leaving things behind. And God. And all the books I've burned. You know, maybe every 6 months I'd have, you know, sort of a write a poem, and I've been doing it for 8 years. They're hidden in my little box there. Because I'd like to sing, but you know, I'll start to get dressed. Oh, yeah, I wanted to tell you about this. I wanted to tell you that 3 months ago, about, or 6 months ago, I bought, you know, underpants and bras. You don't think it's funny, but you know, I was a nude dancer, you know. For 8 years. When I was 12, I'd been raped by a lineup. There were 12 guys. Wasn't. A couple of Harley guys. My sexuality was all fucked up. You know, girls, you know, it's not easy for girls. God really helped me and sent me a very sweet man in my life. This man, he gave me a chance. For 2 years, he just let me have my body, let me choose. In 3 months, I had the sexual awakening. Do you know what that is for me? It's to be able to feel when I'm being touched. When the other is there. And for me, sexuality is spirituality. Because human beings, we all go through this. And it's the greatest miracle in the world. It's very important for sexuality. Both you as a man and you as a woman. And respect starts there. If I got into the program, and I'm not judging. But I would not have been able, I would have died if I'd done only that. Sexuality, I was unable to have somebody touch me. And before sharing, my husband, I asked him, I couldn't ask anybody to make love. I was me who had to decide. And that was my frame of mind. I worked a lot at freeing myself from these chains that I'd put on. But for me, it was always 50-50. I learned to forgive those guys, to forgive my father. But the beginning, when I was asking God, I was asking and accepting that God would pardon, because I wasn't ready. But these are users,
addicts who suffer. They might be dead. If there's one here and he reminds me, well, you're welcome. Sharing, God told me, bring your rock, bring your poem, and I'm going to finish with that. It's a gift from Him to you, because not always, but it comes out. I don't want anyone to use it to make money or to misuse it, because it's too important. In English, I don't know if it's going to rhyme, because I don't know English enough to say, but it's not really important if it rhymes. What is important is the message, what He says. It says, body and soul. I wrote it with Him this summer. It takes 5 minutes, what I'm telling you. I didn't write this. Well, I wrote it, but I didn't. It's a gift. Through my eyes, I see your soul. Through your body, I see the flame. Your wounds are so deep, and your body cries as if it must split asunder. Do not be afraid of Him. He is filled with pain, but that is the bigness in Him. Jesus gave you a body to live, to feel, but you do not listen to Him yet because you're afraid of lying to Him. The love in you is but a memory, and the body is a memory of what you do not want to relive. The time has come to breathe again. And the breath of life is not there and alone. You can't come, take the road, aspire, find the message comes. You are the most marvelous. You have everything to cure yourself. To cry is difficult for the proud one, but knees are made to bend. The heart is made to love. Take the time to listen. This body is your instrument. Take care of it, and often take the time to tune it and thank God for this love. Beautiful. Thank you.